Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Let's pray. God, remind us that you are always with us. Always watching, always listening, always loving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Does anyone here ever watch the show Shark Tank? Anybody? My husband and my mother, they both love that show. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's a reality TV show for business people. So if you have a really great business idea or you have an invention, you can showcase your invention on Shark Tank, and you pitch the idea to a bunch of sharks who are investors. And if the investors like your idea, they'll give you money for a certain percent of your company. And if they don't give you any money, you still got a whole bunch of national publicity because you were on the show. Now, sometimes the sharks mess things up. They have a really great idea in front of them, and they don't invest. They did that about 10 years ago when a young man came before them on the show, and he had something he called the doorbot. It was a video doorbell. And they did not invest in his company, but lots of people saw it and they loved the idea. And 5 years later, Amazon paid like a gazillion dollars for the technology for the Ring, the doorbell that almost every young person wants on their front porch. Because the Ring sees who's at your door, and it sends a feed to your smartphone or your tablet so you can be anywhere. You can be in bed, you can be at the doctor's, you can be grocery shopping, and if somebody rings your doorbell, you'll see them on your phone, and you can talk to them, and they can talk to you. And some of these gadgets have motion detectors, so 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you're in bed sleeping and your phone alerts you that somebody's in your front yard. Turns out to be the neighbor and his big dog making a deposit on your lawn, but you see him because the Ring sees everything. It sees all and it protects your home and it protects you. It also catches porch pirates, which is a new phrase. People who see boxes on your porch that were delivered and they run up and steal them, you can see who's taking your boxes. So it keeps you safe. The Ring sees all, it hears all, it notices all, it records all, and it keeps you safe, which is exactly what God does in our reading this morning. You were wondering where I was going with that, weren't you? Our reading that Jim shared with us is one of the most celebrated and most beautiful texts in the Old Testament. It's not a poem or a song like most of the other Psalms. It's a prayer. And it's also unique for a number of different ways. But what I find most beautiful about it is that it describes God and this relationship that this single person has with God. Now, most of the Psalms, we think, were written by King David. We know that this one was not. It was not recorded in the same time period in which David lived. Now, it still is very old, about 500 years before Christ, scholars believe, but relatively new when you look at all of the Old Testament. Now, this psalm is unusual for another reason, and that is it does not mention the nationalism of the tribe of Israel. Many of the other psalms will say, oh God, you delivered us. We remember when you brought us out of Egypt. God, we remember when you parted the Red Sea, and we need you to do that again today. This psalm says nothing about that history that we read about in the book of Exodus, and that's very unusual for a psalm. It also has no mention of we or us or the community. This is a very intimate conversation. One person talking to God, no one else in the room. A declaration of God's love and care and concern, and this person is acknowledging that. And it is incredibly beautiful for that reason. It makes it very unique. So this morning we're going to look at just a couple of lines that Jim read. And the first thing we're going to notice is that God is aware. God sees and God knows. The psalm begins, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, and when I'm struggling to rise up, and when I'm an infant and I'm learning how to rise up, and when I'm stuck in bed and I cannot rise up, and when I'm in the upper room and I'm trying to get all the car seats and the high chairs and the diapers down. God sees it all." Then it says, "You discern my thoughts from far away." Now, a better translation for "you discern my thoughts," according to the New Interpreter's Bible, is "you read my mind." How many of you go, "Yikes, I don't know that I want God there. There's a whole lot of crazy sometimes between these two ears, and it's probably not a good idea for anybody to be up there." In AA, there's a saying, Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a saying, don't let anybody up there without adult supervision. You need some help with what goes on in your mind. But the psalmist is trying to say, this is how much God cares about you and how well God knows you, that God knows your thoughts. Now, for some of us, that feels like security. If you're really hurting, it's a comfort to know that God knows. But for others of us, it feels a little more like home invasion. It's like, stay back a little bit, God. Just let me get through this, and then maybe you and I can talk. Now, the ring can see when someone sits, when someone stands, when someone falls backward off your porch. You can find all these on YouTube, by the way. They're pretty funny. But it cannot read your mind, at least not yet, because I am pretty sure my smartphone is already quite a bit smarter than I am, so I think it's only a matter of time. So the ring watches and protects us, and God also watches and protects. There's another line that Jim read for us that is just profound to me. And it says, "You hem me in before and behind. You place your hand upon me." God's love encircles us. God protects and keeps us safe. God lets us go so far, but no further. Much like these young parents, you know where those babies are all the time, don't you? And if you don't know, you have things like nanny cam so you can watch. Even when I take my dog on a walk, if he's off our property, he's got a harness and a leash. And he hates that, by the way. He'll let me know he does not like that leash. But I'm knowing that he can go so far and no further. And God says to us, you can go so far, but you can never get outside of my love. There's nothing you can do or say or think that separates you from the love of God. It is encircling you like a ring. So far, God is aware. God is protecting us. And then we see that God does something that, thank goodness, technology cannot do. Well, I guess there's cloning, but God created each of us unique. Each one of us was planned. No matter what your parents might have told you about your being a mistake or a surprise, God planned your life. Every single day was recorded before you even came into existence. That is incredible. I loved hearing that when Jim read it. I could hear that again and again, and I still cannot understand it. But what it means is everyone has divine value because we were created by God. Now, in verse 13, the author describes how God knit our lives together. And it says this, God formed our inward parts. What do you think of when you hear that God formed your inward parts? Anybody thinking of their heart, their lungs, their stomach, your intestines? The actual Hebrew word here is kidneys. God made your kidneys. Now, why would it say that? The ancient people believed that your kidneys was where your emotions were. The seat of your emotions was located in your kidneys. Now, I know some things that come out of kidneys, and generally they're not emotions, but that's what the people believed. Now, the social worker in the room can can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think there's four main emotions: happy, sad, mad, scared. Yes? But according to Brené Brown, there are 87 emotions. And we're not going to go through those right now, but if you ever feel like you are just a hot mess, you can blame God, because God created your kidneys, and that's where all those emotions are coming from. The psalmist then goes on to say, God created my frame. And scholars generally agree that means skeleton. That is your flesh. That could be God calling right now. God is described here as creating the whole package, the emotions, the body, the vehicle that carries your spirit into this world. Now, maybe some of us need to just remember that God marked down every one of our days before a single one came to be. That is how important you are to God. That God knows you that well, that everything that is happening, even when it's hard and even when it hurts, is not outside of God, but that God notices and knows and walks on that journey with you. You are not an accident. And it is not an accident that we are all gathered in this place and on Zoom today. All of this was ordained. And through all of the choices you make in your lives, it is a miracle that we are all here in this place. It is something to be grateful for. We are all so precious in God's sight. So if you are feeling hurting today, or if you are feeling unloved or left out, just know that God sees and God knows, and God loves you, and God is with you. Columnist Ina Garcia shared a story about a young man who was depressed, wanted to end his life. He had people telling him that he was worthless and could do nothing right, and he believed them. So he went to a wise person, and he asked this man, "I just feel so sad and so disappointed with my life. I just want it to end. I'm not worth anything, and everyone agrees. Nothing I ever do works out right. Can you help me?" And the wise man said, "Gee, I'm really busy today. I don't think I have time. But maybe you could run an errand for me. And if you run an errand for me, then maybe I will have time and we can talk later." And the young man was initially a little shocked by the response, but then reasoned, yeah, my life is just that unimportant that even the wise man doesn't have time for me. So he said, "Yeah, I'll do it. What do you need me to do?" And the wise man took a battered old ring off his finger, and he gave it to the young man, and he said, "Go to the marketplace, please, and sell this ring. But don't take anything less than one gold coin for it, because I owe this debt, and if you can sell this ring today and bring me the gold coin, I can pay the debt, and then I should have time to sit down and talk with you." So the young man took the ring, and he went into the marketplace, and he asked everyone he met if they would buy that ring, and there was a lot of interest in the ring. But when they heard the price, one gold coin, they all lost interest and said, "No, I really, that's not worth a gold coin to me." And one man said, "I might give you a bronze coin, maybe a silver coin, but you're never going to get a gold coin for that old ring." The young man even went on Shark Tank and asked the sharks, and they all said no as well. He goes back to the old wise man, and he's just so disappointed, and he said, "I can't even do this right. I went to all these people trying to sell this ring for one gold coin, and no one would buy it. They said I could get a bronze coin or maybe a silver coin, but I know it's not worth that." And the old man said, "Oh, you're right. We need to have that ring appraised. We need to go to an expert who really knows jewelry, and that person can tell us how much it's worth. And once we know how much it's worth, then we can sell it. Take the ring, go to a jeweler." So the young man then goes to a jeweler, takes the ring to her, and she looks at the ring for quite a while. And then she cleans it, and she looks at it again. And she hands it back to the young man, and she said, "Today, if I were to buy this ring, I could only give you 58 gold coins. But if you give me a few days, I can get together the rest of its value, and I can give you 70 gold coins." So the young man took the ring, just flabbergasted, ran back to the wise man and told him, "This ring is worth 70 gold coins. It's so much more valuable than the people told me in the market." And the old man said, "You are like this ring. You are unique. You were created to be special. You are worth more than you could ever imagine. But you will never find out your value and your worth in the marketplace from the crowds. You have to go to the one who created you, the one who knows you, the one who loves you, and the one who values you more than anyone else." We are all the ring. We are the ring that God created and fashioned and formed and values beyond what anything this world might tell us. The psalmist closes our reading today with an incredible line that I have missed every single time I've read this psalm until this week. The psalmist said this, "I come to the end. I am still with you." God's love encircles us from birth, from before birth, all the way through our journey of life and to death. And we end up in the same place with God. We never go anywhere outside of God or away from God's love. We are always encircled. It's a beautiful prayer, by the way, to pray for someone who's vulnerable or hurting and you can't see them and you don't know what's happening in their lives, to pray some of the lines from this psalm. Maybe to pray, "God, hem them in before and behind, place your hand upon them." And to remember always that no matter what happens, even through the hardest moments, we will end up where we began, with God. Now, how many of you are wearing a ring today? Anybody? You might have it on your finger, might be in your ears, your eyebrow, your nose, or some unmentionable part. Don't tell me about those parts. But I want you to notice your ring. Think about it. Maybe hold on to it for a moment. And let it remind you that this is how God loves you. From beginning to end and everywhere in between, with no end. You're never outside of God's love, but God always encircles you with love and concern. Amen. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.